Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, that's what the young people say, don't they, when they say hello.
Hey, folk.
They're not allowed to say hello, ladies and gentlemen, anymore.
No, that's, all guys, apparently.
You say, hey, folk.
Hey, folk,
because
is that
that's,
what you're
that's no gender. You see, we're being,
oh, hey, folk. Sake.
Oh,
hey.
But that's a silly word, folk.
Oh, I don't want to
I don't like
you up.
The word folk. Oh, I'm sorry.
Judith's got a dander right up. Welcome, everybody, to Older and Wider. We welcome you, whatever mood you're in. What if you're in a filthy temper? We say welcome. Hopefully we'll cheer you up. Maybe we'll annoy you even more. It doesn't really matter. If you fancy being really furious all day long, that's fine with us. What kind of mood are you in, Judith?
Well, I'm okay. I just had a sort of bit of post-lunch sugar, so I'm feeling better than I was. I was feeling a little bit like there was a bit of a dip before. I've become now a total old lady. I need, you know, I need sort of topping up, really.
You had to have a chocolate, didn't you?
I did.
You had
I
to have a, some.
I stole some. I just stole three chocolates out
of the
meeting
room.
Watched
you this lunchtime. You had a bang bang chicken salad. You had half an
you
egg
liked
sandwich.
Saying that, didn't
bang,
you?
Bang. God, yeah, it's really, really
bang bang chicken salad.
It's quite fashionable for us to have bang bang chicken salad.
I know
salad.
It was delicious, actually.
Bang bang chicken
I
salad.
I might be thinking about that for quite a long time. Yeah,
and
go
then
on.
You had a half an egg sandwich.
Yeah,
and then you
yeah.
went. A piece of chocolate.
I suddenly needed a sugar rush, but I literally burst into the meeting room because that's what Daisy told me to do. And
was there a meeting going on?
Well, it was just coming to an end, but they all looked, honestly.
Well, of course it would. Suddenly a strange woman goes bursting into the meeting room.
Listen, we're in the middle of this podcast and we're having a funny turn, I said, as if that excused the whole thing.
Don't you drag me into this. Anyway, Judith, it's...
Yes, Jenny.
Spring has sprung. Does that give you joy?
It has. Hasn't it been... Well, gosh, the sunshine has been amazing, hasn't it? Mind you, I haven't got the sandals out yet. I was still in the winter shoes. I've not gone that far.
Well, I think that you need to do some work on your feet before you get them out.
Yeah, you do, don't you? And I need to, you know, shave my legs and all that stuff. It's all in the winter, nobody's seeing it type thing at the moment.
We're still in winter mode, but outside, we had that freakish weather for a couple of days,
yeah.
Which unnerved me, actually.
And there were people in shorts, weren't there, with the flip-flops on?
Oh, well, I went up north. And it was even hot up there.
Was it?
I went up to see my mother post-cataract operation. And she's been very brave, but even so. And I walked out of the train station and there was a carpet of crocuses.
Oh, what colour?
Well, they were a mix as well, which I liked. And I don't, sometimes purple and yellow is a little bit, it's a bit much.
Yes, I know what you mean.
But in a crocus it works.
It does, doesn't it, somehow?
I had a couple of terrible train journeys recently.
Have you?
Have you ever been on a Virgin Pendolino?
What do you mean, a pendolino? What's that?
It's a tilting train, Judith. It's a tilting intercity, inner city, intercity. What's that?
Which one is that? The one that goes up to Manchester?
It can do.
It can do. I think I have, yes.
The one I took was from Euston to Preston.
Yeah.
And it goes very, very fast because it can tilt on the track.
Oh, well, that might make me feel a bit sort of travel sick.
You have to face the direction you're going and you have to avoid the carriage nearest the lavatory. Because the lavatories on the Virgin Pendolino, there's a design fault.
Yeah.
And it kind of backs out with a smell.
Terrible. No,
one of those, you get on the train, you can almost chew on the smell.
Oh, I know what you mean.
Absolutely.
I know what you mean. And it sort of goes all the way down the carriage, doesn't
all
it?
All the way down the carriage.
Yes, do you know, I think I have noticed that on Virgin trains, now you come to mention
it. Yeah, and they're those difficult train lavatories.
Do you know they'll sue us, don't you? Well,
it doesn't matter. So they're not going to give us free tickets, are they?
No,
I mean, you know, come on.
Yeah.
So the Virgin lavatory is the semicircular door. Do you know which I speak?
Oh, my God. Do I know it? Because once, you know, it's quite complicated because it's close, lock and open.
There are three buttons.
I know, there are three buttons. It's already complicated. You've just
multiple
reminded
choice.
Me. Because I once went into it and closed it, started to go to the loo.
Hadn't locked.
And hadn't locked it. So somebody outside. And the trouble is you can't, like, you know,
you can't push the door because it's a semicircular.
So it opened really slowly.
And once obviously, it starts there opening, I am. You can't stop
exactly.
it.
And then I remember obviously having to get off and close it really slowly. I mean, it was like a piece of theatre. Horrible, you know, terrible theatre.
Traumatic piece. Apparently, my friend Giles Brandreth, he pressed open the door. He was on the outside of the library. He pressed open the door and there was a man inside. The man inside was mid-wee and he was so horrified at Giles opening the door, he turned round and sprayed Giles with his wee. Yes.
Oh, dear.
Funny at the time. This is not funny at the time.
This is obviously why they stink, isn't it?
Yeah, no. And on my last train thing, just this is Clapham Junction. I just want to say, silly piece of design. There's a waiting room, an indoor waiting room at Clapham Junction on Platform 1, should you ever want to go in either direction, Dalston or Stratford.
Yeah.
Yes, that's where it can go. And anyway, I'm doing my train connection and I'm thinking, well, I've got 10, 15 minutes. I could sit down in the waiting room.
Yeah.
And it's a large enough waiting room.
Get your tapestry
out. Yeah, I thought so. In this largest waiting room, there are two seats.
What?
What's the point?
What, are you supposed to be standing up and waiting?
Yeah, standing up in a waiting room. What, it's the most ludicrous thing. And there were two young women sitting in the seats, and obviously I didn't look bad enough.
That was a bit of bad planning, Jenny.
I know.
I'm sure you could address that problem pretty quickly.
And one of them looked at me and went, "You don't want to sit down, do you?" And I went, "No, I'm fine, I'm fine." She said, and then the other one said, "Well, I'd get up if it was a woman with a buggy." And I thought, why would a woman with a buggy need the seat more than me?
Really?
Yes. Why would somebody who's childbearing years?
Yes, quite. Needs, yeah.
I know, when I'm a woman with a tapestry. Really could do with a sit down because I'm doing tapestry standing up. It's ridiculous. Anyway, what's been going on in your life, Judith?
What's been going on? Well, I tell you what we did last time, which we haven't talked about, is we did the podcast video. We did a sort of little film.
We made a film.
Like an information film, an educational little filmette about how to download podcasts.
It's apparently up for an Oscar next year. It's either BAFTA or Oscar. It's a short.
Yes.
We're going to put it into the category under short film.
It's a shame it's not in a foreign language, really, because it'd probably win something if it was.
So if we'd done it in black and white.
Absolutely.
In a foreign language.
In Portuguese.
Damn it.
I know, bugger. So it's you and me sitting on the sofa.
Yeah.
And I did notice when they were filming it, because we were told to go through the process of trying to download a podcast app on our iPhones. Did you notice the way that the young people who were filming it were sniggering so much that their shoulders were going up and
the
down?
The camera was shaking.
Yeah. That's how funny. We were just being ourselves, weren't we?
And they thought it was hilarious because we were so stupid.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Just couldn't, pissing themselves they were.
The worst thing about that video.
Oh, I know where you're going. Go on.
Go on, you tell them.
Well, I opened the attachment, okay, because Daisy sent it to me.
Our producer.
I clicked on it. And up popped these fat, old women.
I know.
And obviously, I kind of glanced at you and thought, it's not much better for her than it is for me. But I looked at myself. And first of all, I hadn't really, because it was really badly lit, wasn't it? You know, it was all the kind of, you know, well, I've suddenly got masses of wrinkles. But worse than that, I'd bought myself this kind of leopard skin top from Marks and Spencer's.
Yeah, you dove with leopard skin that week.
I know. But it was kind of, I quite liked it. And in my head, I looked quite skinny in it. But when I saw myself in it, I mean, it was just like, it was really like fat girl top.
Well, I have a full-on goiter underneath my chin. At one point, I laughed at something you said. My chin wobbled. It wobbled.
Did it?
I thought, well, if there's a doctor watching this, they're going to think I've got a thyroid problem.
It wasn't good, was it? It really wasn't good. I think I look like somebody in stuff. You know, like Guy Fawkes, you know, the guys stuffed with...
Yeah.
It's like tights all rolled up.
Yeah.
It looked like somebody had put all that down, not only around my middle, but all down
like
the sleeves.
Like you'd been taxidermied a bit. Too much kapok in the stuffing.
Too much stuffing.
Yeah.
And not smoothed out. Kind of lumpy all over the place. It's so depressing.
I haven't wanted to go on a diet for so many years because I just can't be bothered with that sort of thing. But that made me think, no, Jenny, it's time to get a grip.
It really is time to get a grip, isn't it? I know. I remember filming with Dale Winton, who I knew quite well. And he would always insist on the camera being, you know, so far up because obviously it made you look skinnier and younger. I mean, so much so that honestly, sometimes
you need a scaffolding.
Well, yeah, no, it was a bit like CCTV, you know, like you're robbing a post office. But part of our problem is we should have said, right, okay, we should have been loved, and we should have said, right, we want some nice lighting.
The lighting is awful.
And sitting down, you see, that's I'm never going to do that again. We should have been standing up.
Yeah, we should have holding so our tummies could in. Drop rather than
yeah. Not sitting down. Anyway, it's a rather good, I think it's a rather good lesson in downloading a podcast. But my God, it's hideous of you and I.
Judith, you said you were going to bring in something that brought you joy.
I have. Yes, I have. I've bought something. Right. Oh. It's coming out of the bag. Like, any idea what's in it?
Well, for starters, the bag is it's like a shoe bag that you got at school. Remember?
Did you make it? It's like a pump bag.
Yes, it's a linen bag on a sort of that tape that was always you've threaded
bias
through.
Bias binding.
Yes.
It's a bit naff, actually. But anyway, I did make that. Yeah. So any idea what I'm going to get out?
Is it a kitten? No. Don't put them on the table. They're jazz shoes.
They're my dancing shoes.
Are these new?
These
or
are my
very
dancing
old?
Shoes. Well, I had one pair and I wore them out. Okay. So that's my second pair. And I honestly think if there was a fire in my house, that would probably be the first thing that I would save. I adore those shoes.
But what sort of dancing shoe is that? Because that is not a tap shoe. That is not a ballroom shoe.
No, no. Well, they've got leather soles, you see, so that you can squish your move your feet around a lot.
Is this something that it's called Ciroc?
Yes, it is.
Explain this hobby.
Well, Ciroc is, I suppose it's a bit like rock and roll, but it's kind of to contemporary music. And it's quite a big movement, I think, the Ciroc movement. But I've been
is
doing
it
for a while.
Hopping?
No, not Lindy hopping. It's not dissimilar to that, but that's, I think, more difficult and more for the young people.
Lindy hopping is a lot of throwing up in the air
catching. So you kind of go to classes, really, and, you know, you learn three moves each class and then there's freestyle. And when I put those shoes on, well, first of all, dancing, just I don't dance enough and it does make me feel joy. It does. It makes me feel joy. It sort of
well, last podcast we did, you showed me a picture of you doing ballet when you were 8.
True.
Have you thought about adult ballet? Because I know a place you can go.
I have thought of that, and I think there's someone somewhere locally that I could do that. And you know, I think that's a really, really good idea.
There's a place in East Dulwich, and it is for people that used to love the ballet and are now sort of in their 40s. And they could be any age, actually, but they haven't done it for a while.
Even fat old nags like me.
Absolutely. And some of them are more advanced than others. You can always tell the ones who are really advanced because they come in point shoes.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they've got blocks. Yeah, and then there are the others. But there is something, there's something that makes you look like you can do it if you've got the kit.
Yes.
With ballet. You know, if you wear sort of those white tights and a pink leotard, it just looks like you can do it.
I can't wear pink tights and
neither of us can.
Jenny, imagine? No.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
We'd have to have a very big tutu on top.
No, but I could do the tights and the thing, and then there'd have to be some tent sort of arrangement over the top.
Yeah, a big T-shirt.
A big T-shirt.
If in doubt, we can always wear the big T-shirt. Yeah.
And what do they call it, this ballet
it's
for old
adult
people?
Ballet.
Oh, adult ballet. It's just called that.
But
I think I might give that a go.
I think you should. Mm. And I think you should actually get over your phobia about wearing white tights and a pink leotard. And I want to see
you
a photo.
You just want to see that, don't you? Just want to see me looking absolutely ghastly. That's going to make you feel better about yourself. I know you. No, I'm not doing it.
Okay. Right. I have nothing of joy that I can bring. All I can say is, in terms of joy.
Yes.
Magnolia.
What do you mean, the paint? No.
Oh, yeah, well, sniffing. That's right, Judith, sniffing magnolia paint. No, magnolia trees.
Oh, yes.
The intricacy of the magnolia tree, the bud.
Have you painted one?
There's one round the corner, and I'm just thinking of taking some secateurs in the dead of night.
Well, be careful. Make sure nobody sees you. Well, remember the holly story.
Well,
mine.
That was you when you stole holly from a public park.
I know, with berries on. Be very careful. Is this in a public place or in somebody's garden?
Somebody's garden.
Jenny, you're going to have to be very careful.
I could knock on the door. Hello, I'm an artist.
Yes.
And I would like to paint your magnolia, but I want to take it home and to put it on my table. I've just got some scissors here.
And what's the alternative strategy if you don't
do
that?
I have to set up in their front garden.
Yeah, well, yes. No, I think if you give them that choice, I can see which way it'll go. Yeah. I think that's a good idea.
They're going to let me lop
a lot. Of course they are.
They don't want me sat in the front garden lowering the
tone. But not take a whole branch.
No, I'm just going to take...
Yeah.
But they are, aren't they? They are the thing.
Oh, they're gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
Can I tell you about a brilliant thing that happened to me?
Yeah.
Okay. I keep having to do these events at the moment for no money. And I did one for my publishing company. Anyway, I was at this event and there were lots of authors there. Quite a lot of the people like Graham Norton and myself and Nadia from Bake Off and people who got, different kinds of books. So novels, David Nichols, who wrote... Us and so hugely, hugely successful. Loads of people. And anyway, there was a pop star was there, Brett Anderson from Suede, who's written a biography. And I was outside the venue just chatting with some, authors, hanging out with authors. And then this most beautiful, beautiful man approaches. And I think, that's Brett Anderson from
Suede.
He hasn't let himself go, has he? He's kind of got the...
Would you have recognised him?
Yeah. Because there are very few people in this world who are that good looking.
Right.
Thin as a pin and absolutely elegant and suave and all this kind of thing. And really, entourage as well. Had pop star written all over him, absolutely. He might as well have had a bass guitar around his neck. And anyway, he sort of lolloped up in that kind of loose-limbed rock star way. And I don't get, I don't get giddy about anything much. And anyway, I sort of went into that mum role because nobody was taking on the kind of introductions thing. And I thought, oh God, well, I'm going to have to, aren't I? So I was saying, Brett, this is David
Were
Nichols.
You?
Who, yes.
Well done.
Yes, I know.
And difficult too.
So difficult.
Because you might not know what somebody's called.
Because David Nichols is one of our best-selling authors in the country. But for a moment, I thought, I've gotten the name Nichols. And I thought, it's Nichols. There we go. I've got it. And anyway, Brett turned around to me and said, I read Moving. I really, really liked it.
Oh, Jenny, how thrilling.
I had to hold on to the wall.
Oh, that's so lovely.
It was the fourth novel.
Wow.
And my knees went and I just thought, I wouldn't have thought that ever in a month of Sundays that somebody like Brett Anderson would have read... Maybe he was staying at his mum's.
No.
And his mum had
You've
it on the
some great books.
Bedside
very,
table
very
in the spare
writer.
Bedroom and he just picked it up and then thought,
Oh, well, how lovely.
And I've just... Not many things get to me like that. Oh.
Did you walk tall as a result of that?
Well,
did you feel... Oh.
Yeah, I did a bit. And I had to go on stage in about an hour after that and I kind of went on with a spring in my step.
I bet you did. I bet you did. So what did you do? Have to talk about your next book?
Yeah, I did a bit. But I didn't. I just did some stand-up because there was a massive, great audience and I just couldn't resist it. There were 1,100 people there and I'm really sorry, but I was desperate for a laugh. It was like a craving in me. You know, like sometimes you want an egg sandwich. Oh, God, I wanted a laugh so much. We've got a guest coming in. We're very lucky. We have a good friend of ours, both of ours, because of the Grumpy Show.
Yeah.
Our last foray into the Grumpy medium, which was we did in 2018, was Grumpy Old Women to the Rescue. And do you remember the auditions we held?
Yes, I do.
And then someone came in, and what'd she do?
Lizzie was brilliant.
She blew us away.
Yeah, she was absolutely brilliant. She was brilliant in the show, wasn't she?
Yeah,
she really, really brilliant. You, Dilly and Lizzie, very, very good threesome.
She's a very safe pair of comedy
hands. She makes me laugh.
We're delighted that she has the time. She's got an audition later.
I know, I hope she gets it, whatever it is.
Well, if she wants it, she'll get it.
I hope she spills the beans about what you were like in that car over those weeks when you spent whizzing up and down the country. How many gigs did you do on that tour?
About 50 or 60, can't remember.
And you're still talking to each other. That's impressive.
She's a very good touring girl. Some people can do gigging on tour. Some people really can't hack it.
Yeah.
She can do touring.
Yeah, I'd be useless.
Terrible knitting, though.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Well, who is she? Look at it. This woman's walked in. I thought maybe it's the cleaner. She's come out. I thought, why is she wearing a tabard? No, she's not. She's wearing... I know that top. I recognise that top. You bought that top when we were on tour last year when we were doing Grumpy Old Women. The woman that is grumpy and sitting here in a black and white top is Mrs. Lizzie Roper.
Yay!
Hooray for me. Yes, Yeovil.
Was that your retail therapy in Yeovil?
Yes, it was...
We didn't have much choice in Yeovil what to do. It was that or take heroin, wasn't it?
Yes, and the heroin in Yeovil apparently is very Moorish.
Well, it is the heroin centre of the... We didn't know this. We thought it was just a...
Oh,
sort of
you being serious?
Yeah.
You actually being serious about Yeovil?
We would turn up in these towns and go, isn't it charming? It's so charming. The cathedral, the charming, the tea shops, it's charming, the wine, yeah. Charming. And then the stage crew would always go, terrible heroin problem.
You tell us now.
Thank you. Charming.
So where were the good places and where were the bad places on tour? Because how many dates did you do together?
Cheltenham.
How many dates was it?
55.
But when we went on tour, Lizzie and I did Grumpy with Dilly Keen last year and we nearly managed the... How many dates was it?
And 55 in 2.5 months.
And then I got
months.
That terrible chest
well,
infection.
Well, you were driven into the ground.
I was so
the whippersnapper.
Poorly.
I was like the YTS youth thing.
Oh,
I was
right.
Like the apprentice and I was on my knees. The stalwarts...
Well, that was for another reason.
Well, there was no way we were going to get out of Yeovil otherwise, was there? No.
So what are you both like to be on the road? First of all, let's say Lizzie.
Like.
So go on, Lizzie, tell me about Jenny on the road first. What's she like?
Jenny's extraordinary because you can take her into any motorway service station and point at a child's... one. You know those rides that you put 50p
yeah,
in?
Yeah.
She can get herself into and onto any child's ride.
Yeah, I know.
And we'll sit there and have photographs taken. And then it gets to the silly point where she will run ahead and I'll be doing something. And then I will walk around the corner and she'll be sitting in
Postman Pat's car, waiting for Lizzie, waving. And there are children waiting to get on the ride.
I
am going, no,
photos of this. Why did I not see photographs of this?
I did post them. They were sort of, we tried to make it a thing, but nobody really was that interested.
So what were you like in the car? Tell me, did you have an individual place?
We had Craft Corner, didn't we?
Yeah, we were in the back, because Dilly being the oldest, she had prime position in the passenger seat. Mm. And then I was very good, because I can get my legs tucked underneath me.
She's like Handy Bendy Gandy. She sits there in a full lotus position.
Not good
position.
For her, you know. Not good for her.
And Lizzie was behind Dilly.
Stretched out and farting.
Yes. Prerequisite is
Do not get
in this car.
So did you bagsy the positions on the first day like you do on a coach tour?
No, we tried to swap it around, but like Dilly had a bad back and, you know, attention must be paid. So pretty much Dilly went in
just
the
became,
front. Occasionally I went in the front. But
there was more space in the back for crafts. Lizzie makes the ugliest hats.
I make lovely hats, I then sell on Etsy, and all the profits go to a dog's home. And if I can't sell them on Etsy, I give them to the homeless in like October. But Jenny has taken against my hats.
Well, tell me about the hats. I want to know about the hats.
I make them on a knitting loom. It's basically French knitting. It's a great big circle with pegs that come out of it.
And you have this in the back of the car?
Yes. Yeah, the trouble is, Judith, she can knock them out at a rate. She can make three a day. It's like
can
a never-ending conveyor belt of the world's ugliest hats. And you just think, oh, surely she'll slow down in a minute. She can't make another one.
Yeah. Did you give Jenny one?
I just like to shove them in her face. Just getting her
what
upset.
Are they like when they're when they're chunky?
They're
what are they
big,
like?
Chunky,
describe
knitted.
It. Describe
they're
it.
Beautiful, big, chunky knitted hat. You get a thick
like
wall.
A bobble. A bobble hat.
Well, they end up. You could put a bobble on them. You could make. I sometimes make little flowers and I put them on the side.
But oh, I like it. A hat with a flower on the side.
Big chunky brims and yes. Big chunky things. And Jenny Clare has, for some reason, taken against them with a horror.
Well, they made me feel hot. They're really heavy, not a double knit one.
Well, I was knitting them around sort of May time, which isn't an easy one,
is
it?
Gave me the sweats, yeah. And I'd be delicately embroidering my tapestry or whatever.
Yeah. What's a lovely scene. It's a bit like sort of Jane Austen in the back of the car,
isn't
it?
And we had gardening magazines. Have you finished?
Did
have
you
finished with the gardener? Yes.
So Dilly was definitely, she had all the gardening catalogues and she did take us to a place of wonder and joy.
Oh, did she? What, sort of like an advanced garden
David
centre?
Austin
Rose the Rose. Did you go there to David Austin HQ?
It was Lizzie's touching herself after. Herself
it was down, one of the Lizzie. Greatest days of our lives, wasn't it?
It was like tell me. Dying and going to heaven. Mm. We had done Shrewsbury the night before and Dilly just sort of casually said, I think garden centre. meant to be really rather good. I might drop in tomorrow. And she was driving herself at that point, and Lizzie and I had a driver, and so we thought, right, we'll follow her.
Did you to the garden centre?
Honestly, we turned a corner, didn't we? And there was a sea of roses.
Fields and fields of roses in bloom.
And you know, like last year was like the glorious summer of 2018. Oh. It was like the first days of that glorious summer. Mm. It was the first week in June.
Could you smell it?
You could smell it, you could see it, you could... And
you could rub your tits
you
in
could,
it.
But you could... Yes, and there was a lot of that going. But it was this... There was a chorus of middle-aged women just going, oh, no, look at this! Oh, no, smell this! It was orgiastic, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And the people had travelled miles... Well, there was lots of Asian, Japanese...
Lots of Japanese, because they're big on the roses.
Yeah.
It's got the right climate.
And there were peacocks as well.
We arrive, and then we're in the formal gardens where they very cleverly set up different formal gardens with just bursting with roses everywhere. But then there's a little tea shop and an old barn, and you have a cup of tea and a nice piece of cake. And oh, there's just a peacock. There's a peacock walking around next to us, sort of posing for photographs.
Yeah, I can do my peacock impression. I've done it once before on the podcast.
Every opportunity she takes to do that. Yes. Well, why have I never been to the David Austin
Rose
place?
It's not easy to get to. It is in the middle of the country. Mm. It's kind of, you have to be in Shrewsbury for something, but Shrewsbury is a lovely place.
Well, it's worth going, especially. Yeah. So did you all come away with great arms full of rose plants?
I came away with a bush.
You came away with three bushes. You killed one bush.
I killed Desdemona, but she's come back. She's coming back
you
this
see?
Year.
You see?
Yes, you and Dilly told me. Because they're gardeners. Mm. Dilly and Lizzie are.
Yeah,
what's going on in your garden at the moment?
Well,
you've been away.
I've been away, but I did a lot of bulb planting last October. The bulb lasagna, where you start with tulips on the bottom.
Yeah.
Then another layer of soil, then hyacinths, then another layer of soil.
What, on top of each other?
Yes.
Don't they all push each other out of the way?
And then crocuses on top of that.
Lizzie.
So then the crocuses bloom first.
Yes.
And as they're blooming, the hyacinths are growing through.
Wow.
And then as they die off, the tulips are coming through.
Where are you in the cycle now? Because I think it's been the year of crocus.
Yes, my crocuses are just on my way out. The hyacinths are now going, look at me, ladies.
And are they in pots?
In pots. Lovely pots all over the place. My coronilla, which is a green
She's always had problems with the coronilla.
It's a green shrub with fantastic yellow petals on it, which I had to put in because my mother has one in her garden in Guernsey, and it is a bush and it does smell fantastically, and all my mother says when you arrive is, smell my bush! Smell my bush! Oh, smell my bush! Isn't it beautiful? Smell my bush! So I told my gardener I had to have one of these smelly bushes.
Yeah.
He's a young man. He didn't know where to look. It's not right, you know, and they're all, oh, no. So I have my smelly bush. I have all my hyacinths and stuff. It's all, the winter flowering jasmine, that's all kicking in.
Have you still got that ancient cat?
My 19-year-old cat, little Phoebe GB, who I've kept her alive for 17 and a half years.
With love.
Yeah. With love and a little bit of neglect and a little bit of... We have a little routine.
And now, tell us, you just finished a theatre show.
I just finished Rutherford and Son, which is a play which we did at the Sheffield Crucible, a play written in 1910. Mm-hmm. By a woman. Imagine a woman holding a pen in 1910. She writes this play. It goes on at the Royal Court. It's a huge hit, but nobody knows it's written by a woman. It's by G.K. Sowerby, as far as they know. It's the toast of the town. Everybody in London society wants to know about it. Bring out the author. Bring out the author. They bring out the author.
It's a woman.
It's a woman. All the critics go, well, when I said it was good, I didn't say it was that good.
Good for a lady.
And she was the daughter of this glass factory in Sunderland. They were third generation. They had offices in Hamburg and Paris and America. It was one of the biggest glass factories. And she wrote a play about a family that owns a glass factory. And it is one of the most, it's like Arthur Miller meets Chekhov, meets Long Day's Journey Into Night, meets Miss Julie.
Wow. What's it called again?
Rutherford and Son. They are doing it at the National Theatre with Roger Allam. We did it in Sheffield with Owen Teal, and I think that we should just take out 90% of men, make a mould out of Owen Teal, and just populate the world with Owen Teal.
How do we know Owen Teal?
Owen Teal is in Game of Thrones. He's a Welsh actor. He's in Game of Thrones.
Oh, I haven't seen Game of Thrones.
You'd know as soon as you saw his face. He's done it.
What part did you play? Were you a whore?
No, I was a drunk. I was a drunk mill worker whose son had been sacked. And I didn't want to give too much away, but it was.
Read a riot act? Did you come up?
I started off my journey. Start off pleading. By the end of it all, I'm smacking tables and I'm screaming in his face and then I'm chucking family secrets at him and then I leave.
That's you, though, isn't it? Have you ever played a shy, retiring Violet?
Oh, I'm sure I have. Oh, in episode one of How Do You Want Me, that was a TV series of Dylan Moran playing a photographer.
Oh, vaguely, vaguely.
Yeah, I played Country Woman. It was one of my first TV roles. I played Country Woman who was a little bit upset at having her photograph taken.
Now, because you would be. The other thing, people will know you from Grumpy, people will know you from all sorts of things, just basically showing off.
Yes, basically showing off and not knowing any better.
What about your Aunt Bessie's?
Oh, that's all dead in the water. Yes. I did 11 years of advertising.
Did you get a load of free dumplings?
No, were you one of the Aunt Bessie's Yorkshire pudding
Margaret
things?
I was Mabel.
Roast potatoes on a Tuesday.
Oh, my goodness. Margaret's.
Yes,
all Margaret's. Well, that was, didn't they sponsor I'm a Celebrity one year?
Yeah, we did 2 years of I'm a Celebrity.
Oh, goodness.
Filmed it all in Ealing Studios. Never got to Australia.
Bugger. Not like you. Yeah. Dom Jolly up in a treehouse. Well, he taught me every capital city in the world. And do you know what? They never showed an instant of that. Every day we'd go up to that treehouse and he would drum into me every capital city of the world, and by the end of the series I knew about 32. I can't remember a single one.
It was too
there.
Interesting, wasn't it?
But it was too obviously too intellectual for them. Decided we're not even going to show that.
It's not good enough.
On Older and Wider, we like to get, we sometimes forget because we forget everything, but we'd sometimes like to talk about health and where we are and how we feel about ageing and to Botox or not to Botox and where you are on the sort of liking yourself and liking your career and all that kind of thing. This middle, like, because you're only 50. Yeah. So you're sort
51,
of...
51, imagine.
Bang slap in the middle, really. Yeah. You're sort of halfway there.
But I am, and I'm odd because I'm not married and I don't have children. I never went... I'm not divorced and I'm not... I'm just... I've always been this weird single... childless freak. And I turned round about 7 or 8 years ago and went, yes, you know, I've had some men. I've had quite a few men.
You've had more than your fair share.
I don't need any more. And I've sort of like put that on a shelf and I am so not interested. Yeah. I mean, when I meet lovely men who make me laugh, that's exciting. But I don't want to see them naked with their socks on and an erection. That would just be awful. So I'm sort of in and out of the menopause. I'll go 6 months and I think, oh, yes, I've arrived. Hot flush. And then one will come back. And I go, oh, so can I throw these sanitary towels away? Oh, no, I can't. That's ridiculous.
What about HRT or not to HRT?
Well, I don't know. I don't.
Are you hot flushing yet? You're not there.
I had a few hot flushes last year.
And that was because it was very hot summer.
And my mother, we had to stick my mother on HRT back in the 80s. She was a nightmare.
Was she? Tell us. Make us all feel better.
Yes.
No trouble, June. We've both got mothers called June.
Oh, yes. Excellent.
Excellent. She's got a daughter called Phoebe. I've got a cat called Phoebe. There's so much that you know.
So tell me about your mother, June, when she was in her
menopause. I was doing my A-levels. They were moving to Guernsey at the time with my father's job. And she was basically hysterical for about 2 or 3 years. Nothing could be said without... It was a...
Did she come out the other end, or is she still like it?
Is she still on HRT? Because she's in her late 80s
God,
now.
No, she's 86 now. No, I don't think she's been on HRT for a while. I don't think so. I don't know.
My mother still... She's just had the second cataract up, and she came out as the second one. And I went up to see her. I was going to lie, actually, because Judith keeps going away, and I was going to say, oh, I've been to Ibiza for 3 days. I haven't been to Ibiza, but I've been somewhere as hot, which is my mother's flat.
Wow.
Does she have the heating on in that heat wave?
Well, she does. She says she hasn't got it on, but God in heaven, I'm sat there on the sofa in my bra. And she'd been knocked around with this cataract top, but, you know, her face was very sore. And I said, well, maybe take a couple of paracetamol. No, she's 89, and she'll go, I'll have half a parrot. I mean, just think, you are insane. She's quite mad.
My dad, we said, how are you, Dad? He said, oh, I've got a terrible pain in my leg and a headache. Blah, blah, blah. Do you want some painkillers? Well, what good will that do? Well, I think the clue's in the name.
But so you're quite content though, aren't you?
I'm totally. I mean, I could do. You know, I've always spent my entire life battling an extra stone, 2 stone, and I'm furious because I lost a stone before Christmas. You know, when you get into that, oh, I'm gorgeous, but look at me, I'm gorgeous. I'm so gorgeous, I can eat what I like, I can drink what I like, I'm gorgeous. Oh, it's the other side of Christmas and I've put a stone back on again.
How did you lose it, though?
Well, I had my kitchen done. I was living in 2 rooms upstairs and I had a Nutribullet and a kettle.
Excellent.
So it was a lot of protein shakes and a cup of tea.
So you'd like to sort of shed that stone, but you don't really want to do anything about it?
Oh, not that would involve hard work or anything like that.
Steady on.
Yeah. I'm waiting for somebody. You know when you meet a friend and they've lost like 3 stone and you say to them, oh, how did you do it? And you want them to say, I took a pill.
Yeah.
And I woke
this place
up the next
down
morning.
Harley Street. Yeah.
But you don't
want
to go.
150 quid.
Yeah. I gave up sugar. I went swimming. Yeah. I went walking. I got a personal. That's not the answer I want.
Your hair is very good.
Oh, thank you very much.
A bit like Judith. You and Judith have good hair. I have very poor hair. But in terms of keeping yourself sane, this is a...
Do you think she does?
Well, this,
are we convinced that she does?
I started the question and then halfway through, I kind of lost confidence.
She hustles in her bed.
Yeah, well, you're implying that I started off on a level of sane. I've always been the weird kid. I'm just the weird kid and I do my own thing. And I'm very happy, I'm very good at it. I'm very content at it. I'm very content at being single. I like being 50. I like being in a position now where my forthright mad opinions can, as my friend Nyleza say, we're not angry, we're right.
This is your mate, yes, Lisa
Big Difference. Yes, yes.
And you, yes, of course. Well, you're absolutely correct. I wouldn't dare cross you on this.
No, I saw you in. Sorry, do you mind? No. I saw you in a series. No, I saw you in a series that because my daughter got married at Christmas, right? And she suggested that because we were together for Christmas, we should sit down and watch the whole series of The Worst Week of My Life. Have you ever seen this, Jenny?
I've seen bits of it, but I haven't seen the bit with you in.
So well, no, you're in it a lot.
I'm in series one.
The good series, the best series.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I can't tell you how much we laughed. Oh. It's the run-up, isn't it, to the wedding day?
Yes.
With Ben Miller and, Alison Sedman's in
Alexander.
It. And that wonderful guy. Is he called Jeffrey?
Jeffrey Whitehead.
As the father.
Oh,
as this posh.
Fabulous.
I know. And you're the Tardy.
I am Ben Miller's father's lap dancing girlfriend.
Yeah, the new girlfriend.
It was
the
my
tarty
first.
Girlfriend.
It was my first big TV job. So I was.
You
like,
were
sort of,
so good in it.
Thank you, darling.
Oh,
thank
we laughed
much.
So much.
She's a really good actress.
She is. Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy doing that series?
I just got my really good agent. She got me this amazing. Well, she got me this amazing audition. I got the part. So I would turn up for work. We were filming in this Bingo Millionaire's mansion out in East. I think Robert Lindsay lived next door. And the green room, where we would all sort of go and retire to, was the swimming pool of this house. Had this sort of nice
area.
Did you
take a dip? Because you love a swim.
Couldn't go with the makeup and what have you. But I'm sat there with Alison Stettman, Jeffrey Whitehead, Ben Miller. I've known Ben for years. And you know, do that thing when actors all go, and Alison Stettman's going, oh, well, of course, when the boys were little, and Mike Lee, there's nothing I like more than hanging out with older actors and listening to how TV was in the 70s and 80s. I do a lot of Doctor Who audiobooks, and I'm in heaven there.
Really?
Yeah, I just go like, oh, Tom Baker. I'm just going to sit in a room with Tom Baker and let Tom Baker. And I was very like, John Hurt. I did an episode with John Hurt. I got to hang out with him.
So what do you want to do next?
I think I'd like a juicy sitcom. I very much enjoyed the life of a TV soap star.
She did her Hollyoaks.
I did a year. I did 111 episodes.
Oh my goodness, you did that many.
Yeah. I'd like to do Emmerdale or Coronation Street. Basically, I think I'm a northerner at heart, and I really like going and living in other places. So, and apparently Emmerdale is filmed somewhere beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, so
that's Yorkshire Dales.
I could, you know, I've got no school run to do. I've got no husband to look after.
Take your knitting.
Take me and the cat, and I'll go and get a little cottage.
No more knitting. She mustn't do more knitting. She must be stopped.
I'm going to make you a pinafore dress out of woolly hats.
I tell you what, no, your other skill, which is much more attractive than the hats, is the duvet, the
oh, my quilt.
Are you a quilter?
I wasn't, but my darling father died about nearly 2 years now. And he had the most magnificent collection of silk ties. Beautiful silk ties. One different cut and just fantastic.
But a collection like no normal man. I mean, such a vast collection.
Yeah. And all beautiful and interesting and fantastic. And you're left with this thing, how do we honour this? I don't want to give it to a charity, so I don't. But
you
I
made
can't.
Them into a quilt.
So I went online and I researched and I found, and I was looking at, you know, people do this with silk ties. And it was like grieving and therapy all in one go. So I spent the whole of Christmas researching it on YouTube. And then I came back and sat in my kitchen and unpicked all these silk ties and then backed them and put the stencil on them and put it all together and made this. It is beautiful.
It is extraordinary. I mean, the hats are hideous, right?
Yeah.
let's get this straight. The hats are foul.
Yeah.
But the quilts are a thing of, I mean, when you showed me the picture, I thought she's lying. She knew it. Not the hat woman. She can't make this. But they are genuinely.
Because also, there's the thing about doing handicrafts is that I can get very excited about the sort of technique of it. But then you do all that work, and then at the end of it, you look at it and go, yes, I can appreciate the
time,
hard work,
yeah.
but I don't want that anywhere in my house.
Yes,
it's going to look dreadful.
And that's so dispiriting when that happens, isn't
And the
it?
Whole point of this quilt was that it has to be beautiful. At the end of it, it can't look like something out of Little House on the Hairy. It can't look like Little House on there. Yeah. Get out, Laura Ingalls. It has to be something fantastic, and I think it is.
Where is it now?
My mum, well, of course, halfway through making it, and I'd sell my mum, and she said, oh, can I have it? I said, yes, actually, I think it would be very appropriate for it to be on my mum's bed. So it's in my mum's house.
And how beautiful.
Yeah, and then all the scraps I made into cushion covers. So I've got one of those pillows on my bed, so I've got a little bit of...
As you say, I mean, I can imagine that would be a sort of bereavement process, as well as ending up with something which is a, you know, homage to him.
But also, like, he wore these ties when he was going out for a good time.
Oh, exactly.
So,
lovely.
And what I love, that he was at Oxford, and his Oxford tie... which is right in the middle, had got a stain down on it.
Did it?
And it's still got the stain on it, and it's in the middle.
Yeah.
And then everything sort of emanates out from that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
A centrepiece stain.
Yes.
What would you like an homage to you to be made of?
Dogs.
A pelt of your old dogs.
I'd like a dog rescue home called the Lizzie Roper.
Well, this is something you talked about doing in the future with your sister having a dog hotel.
I think this is why I'm so content and happy as a single woman, because I know that my future is going to be me and my single childless sister living somewhere in the middle of nowhere, taking other people's dogs and going to the local dog's home and saying, give us your oldest dog. Give us the oldest dog that nobody's going to adopt or look after, and we'll just give him the last 18 months.
Like a donkey sanctuary.
Yes, exactly. I'll be the donkey.
So is it like a doggy sanctuary then?
Yeah, well, we're going to call it Wolf Hall. for all your Wolf Hall for all your woofter needs.
At this point, we're going to say goodbye to Lizzie Roper because you've got an audition, and all we can do for you is keep our fingers firmly crossed.
Thank you very much.
Are you taking over my vagisana? Are you just going to steal my vagisana?
I could never take over your vagina, Jenny.
I have a horrible feeling we want a younger vagina.
It's too bothersome.
On that note, we'll love you and leave you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.